Tunisia will see. Palestine will be free. Netanyahu, you will see. Palestine will be free. So I'm the other MC today, Josh Lees from the Palestine Action Group here. As Jonas said, we're meeting here today, 9 months into this genocide in Gaza. We know the crimes that have been committed. We know Israel are escalating, if anything, this genocide in Gaza. Any prospective ceasefire they talk about, Israel plans to continue occupying, in fact, extending their occupation into a third of Gaza, more buffer zones, more permanent occupations down the middle, perhaps permanently trying to control the Rafah crossing. So we need to keep up this fight. It's going to be a long fight. We are not going to win in the short term. It's going to be a long fight. We want Israel driven out of Gaza. Then we want them driven out of the West Bank. Then we want all of Palestine to be liberated. And that's going to take an ongoing massive fight from all of us around the world. Sydney University has just, in the last week, put out their response to this massive and inspiring protest camp movement. They have announced a whole series of new draconian, authoritarian, anti-democratic, anti-protest measures for Sydney University. Absolutely despicable. For over a month, students peacefully camped, demanding an end to genocide. Week after week, they face disciplinary measures from the students. They face intimidation and threats from Zionist activists and other far-right activists all around the country. They face discipline, suspension, expulsion, crackdowns on their rights at Sydney University for standing up against the genocide and for demanding Sydney University and other universities cut ties with the apartheid terrorist state of Israel. There should be the fundamentals of free speech and democracy in this country, which should be the freedom to protest against the authorities without asking the permission of those bloody authorities we're protesting against. So I know the students and staff at Sydney University, from the students of Palestine and the groups involved in the camp, the SRC there, the NTU, are all planning to take a stand against these authoritarian measures. I want to talk about Fatima Payman, but this is a huge moment for the Palestine movement in this country, I think. And it says so much that Fatima Payman, who took, as we all know, the step of crossing the floor to vote to recognize Palestine. A very moderate act, actually. This is not a radical measure. You know, recognizing Palestine, dozens of countries around the world have done this. This is mostly a symbolic gesture. Unfortunately, it's not actually going to do much to liberate the Palestinians. It's not going to challenge Israeli power and domination and racism by itself. But for this very basic act, it speaks volumes about the world and the political establishment in this country, the response that we've seen to such a simple act of solidarity and humanity. And we start, of course, with all the institutions of our society immediately. The right-wing papers, the Murdoch press started running smear campaigns. Apparently, Labour sources raised the idea that maybe she shouldn't even be allowed to be in the Senate because she's from Afghanistan. An absolutely despicable, racist, dog-whistling argument to try to undermine Fatima Payman's very rights to even be in that place. We, of course, salute Fatima Payman for taking this step. It's a step forward for the campaign, and I think we've got to see, you know, without overstating it, this is a victory of our mass movement over these past 9 months. And Fatima Payman herself credited, actually, the student camps as playing a crucial role in her realizing that she had to take a stronger stand than she had been. It was those student protest camps where she visited at Sydney Uni and at Curtin University, and I've got to say, the students did not greet her with teas and scones initially. And they were right not to do so, because this was before she'd crossed the floor. She faced anger from those students and demands to take a stronger stand. And this is the result. The result is she has taken a stronger stand. And I think this is an important lesson for our whole movement. We don't get anywhere by begging and scraping those in power. We get places by mobilising and demanding. We demand the Labour politicians cross the floor. Why the hell are they not taking a stand, the same stand, crossing the floor and voting? And voting, we don't just want your words behind the scenes. We don't want your bullshit that you're fighting internally. We need you to take a public stand for Palestine. Today, it's been 9 months. What are you waiting for? All right, on that note, I'm going to pass over to Ridda, our next speaker. So Ridda is an absolute legend in the Palestine campaign. She's been one of the activists here week after week coming out. She is a doctor. She's part of the awesome healthcare workers of Palestine group and the doctors of Palestine groups. People will have seen them every single week mobilizing, organizing vigils, protests, being here at our march. She is a Lebanese activist for Palestine who's campaigning for Palestinian rights for a long time now, for many years. So make her welcome. Thank you, Rita.
As a member of the medical profession, I solemnly pledge to dedicate my life to the service of humanity. The health and well-being of my patients will be my first consideration. I will respect the autonomy and dignity of my patients, and I will maintain the utmost respect for human life. I feel I can therefore speak for many of my colleagues when I say that we are deeply concerned at the growing deaths and disabling injuries of civilians and health and humanitarian workers in Gaza and the West Bank. ASEM, the Australian College of Emergency Medicine, released a statement recently in coalition with others, finally calling for a ceasefire last month. To my knowledge, this is the only medical college in Australia that has advocated for the safety and protection of their healthcare colleagues and patients. Shame. An open letter was started on June 27th and has over 750 doctors as signatories calling for their colleges and governing bodies to represent them in calling for an immediate ceasefire and to stand in solidarity with their frontline colleagues. Our colleagues, fellow healthcare workers, are not a target. And yet, the health Workers Watch have reported over 500 health workers being killed since October 7th, with the 500th being Dr. Hani Al-Jafawari, who was Gaza's head of emergency services. Dr. Adnan Al-Wush, orthopedics chief at Al-Shifa, was killed in Israeli detention. To quote from a surgeon in Gaza, practicing medicine has become a crime, and the penalty for saving people's lives has become detention and being tortured to death. Ambulances are not a target, but since October 7th, the UN have reported attacks on 79 ambulances in Gaza and 212 in the West Bank. Shame. Hospitals are not a target, and yet the UN have reported over 304 attacks on healthcare in the Gaza Strip since October 7th, and 286 attacks in the West Bank. So of the Gaza Strip's 36 hospitals, 26 are critically damaged. According to MSF, virtually every hospital in Gaza has either been issued an evacuation order, is under an Israeli siege, or will soon run out of fuel and supplies. Rafah's largest hospital, Abu Yusuf al-Najjar, has been forced to shut down following an Israeli-issued evacuation order, meaning there are no hospitals in Rafah at this moment. And there are no hospitals in northern Gaza that are currently accessible either. Civilians are not a target, and yet no aid has entered Gaza for more than 50 days, and the Rafah crossing has been closed since the 7th of May. More than 2,000 aid trucks remain waiting in Arish, in Egypt, for Israel to allow them entry, with food rotting and medicines expiring, as families face heightened levels of starvation a few miles away. While Kerem Shalom remains officially open, commercial trucks, rather, have been prioritized over these aid trucks, and the movement of aid remains unpredictable, inconsistent, and critically low. So thank you all for participating in today's protest. Thank you all for keeping your hearts tender. Your actions are meaningful. A Gaza surgeon was quoted that, "When I watch videos, you cannot imagine how much it quiets my heart. I feel like I'm not alone in the world anymore."
Like Rita said, now more than ever, we need to continue our fight. Like Josh said, our fight is only just beginning. Now, Josh and Nick touched on Senator Fatima Payman, but I just wanted to comment on a few other things. So once again, we salute Senator Fatima Payman for her courage in resigning from the genocidal Labour Party. I just want to share some of my insights that I believe many of the community share along with me. As we commend Senator Payman's decision to quit the genocidal Labour Party, we once again have a reminder for every Labour politician out there that claims to be a friend of Palestine, that claims to be on the side of the oppressed. The message is, it has become crystal clear months and months ago that the Labour Party has made its decision to stand with genocidal Israel. From the cutting of UNRWA funds, from shaking hands with Israeli war criminals, to reaffirming their psychopathic friendship with Israel, to the millions of dollars sent to Israel at the peak of the genocide in February. The Albanese government and the Labour Party has proven to us that they have no moral compass. And so, the delusion, the absolute delusion of trying to change the Labour Party from within is a lost cause. So to every Labour politician out there that claims to be a friend of Palestine, show the community that your humanity is not priced at your political career. There is nothing left in Gaza. There is nothing left in Gaza. They have flattened every inch of Gaza. They have taken any form of life out of Gaza. The only thing that remains in Gaza is the resistance.
Thanks, Annie and 3CR for continuing to play some of the speeches I've recorded at the Sydney rallies. It's been 9 months. Last Sunday, it was raining, and I just wanted to describe to listeners how the heavy, agonised mood of the crowd was lifted by a song. When David Rovics started playing and he said the word Houthi Rebellion, a thrill went through the crowd. It was like a great electric shot of energy as faces beamed and children drummed. I'd love you to have been there. It was like a gift of courage to people who have been so sorely tested.
Performing and singing in support of the Palestinian cause ever since the Second Intifada back in 2000. I first came across his work during the Iraq War. You can go look at his back catalogue, a whole back catalogue of stories. Siding with the oppressed, opposing imperialism, and supporting the resistance and liberation of all oppressed people. So thank you so much, David, for being with us today. I'm going to do two songs about resistance. I'm changing my plan a little bit, having heard these fantastic speeches. Yes. This is one for the actual resistance, not whatever people would like to imagine is happening. This is a song about Ansar Allah. Half the world's trade passes by here. So much of it goes through Tel Aviv. Meanwhile, in the port of Gaza, no ships can arrive and not a boat can leave. While every day hundreds are dying beneath the rain of missiles fired from the air, millions of starving Palestinians on the run and being slaughtered everywhere. No safe place in the Gaza Strip, no armies coming to defend. While all over the planet, people are asking, when will this savage bombing end? How many more thousands of children can be killed while we stand by? How can we just live our lives while we watch the babies die? Shukran jazilan to the Houthi army, standing for the conscience of us all. When they say no business as usual, while the bombs continue to fall. A country that doesn't have an air force, they're painting black, red, green, and white.
on the helicopters they use to board the ships to show their cause is right. The president says this terrorism must stop right away. To which the Houthis respond, yes, that's exactly what we are trying to say. Shukran jazilan to the Houthi army standing for the conscience of us all. When they say no business as usual, while the bombs continue to fall. Ships are going all the way round Africa to avoid the Houthi net. If Israel wants trading partners now, they might be just a little harder to get. We can blockade ports all over, north, south, east, and west. But the Houthi army are the ones who are no doubt blocking the traffic the best. Shukran jazilan to the Houthi army standing for the conscience of us all. When they say no business as usual, while the bombs continue to fall.
Thanks so much, David. Check out all his music online, David Rovix. Legend. All right, everyone, we're going to march now. You know the drill. We're going that way. Make your voices loud and clear. Let's tell all of Sydney, let's tell the world, we stand with Gaza. We stand with the resistance. We stand against the genocide and all the warmongers from every government who's allowing this to happen. Free, free, free Palestine!